Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church. If you are a visitor with us this morning, and I do see several out there, we want to extend a very special welcome to you. We hope that you have a very meaningful worship experience with us this morning. I want to ask that members and visitors alike please register your attendance as the attendance pads are passed down the pew. If you are a visitor looking for a church home, we would like for you to consider Main Street, and if you would give us your address and phone number, we'll have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. I want to draw your attention to several announcements this morning. Beginning this Wednesday night, June the 14th, from 6 until 7 in the Asbury Gym, we will have the beginning of Main Street Summer Games. This will be games and activities for children who have completed K-5 through the 6th grade, and that will continue throughout June and July, except for the evening of July the 5th. And if you would like more information on that, there's a little few more details on the bulletin board just outside the door here to my left. Also, you adults, there will be activities for you as well, so we encourage the entire family to come out on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 to enjoy the Main Street Summer Games. Members of the Board of Stewards, you remember the meeting we had tried to have last Sunday afternoon? Well, we're going to try that again today, immediately following the worship service today. Members of the Board of Stewards, please plan on being present for a very important meeting to discuss wedding policy for the church. So that is immediately following service today in the Trinity classroom. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Our God is a dwelling place in times of trouble and in times of great joy. The Lord is good. God strengthens us with love so we can rejoice and be glad. Often we miss the joy God has for us because our thoughts are turned inward. Let us turn to God with shouts of joy. The Lord is good. May God's favor continue to shine upon us. Let us worship the God of grace and wonder, in whom we are made whole. Please be seated. Join me in the invocation that is printed in your bulletin. Holy God, you have given us grace by the confession of the faith of your holy church to acknowledge the mystery of the eternal Trinity and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see in your eternal glory one God, now and forever. Amen.
As we come to our time of prayer, I have one joy and thanksgiving to lift up that is not in your bulletin, some news. Brian and Susan Chandler Albin welcomed a baby boy yesterday morning. Vicki and Joe Chandler are the proud grandparents. We congratulate them, and everything went well. Susan Pinckney is at Stephen Ministry Leader Training. Be in prayer for her as she travels and completes that training and brings that knowledge and ministry back to our congregation. And also, Bud Pendergrass this past week had some surgery and had part of his leg removed, and should be in our prayers as he heals and as he adjusts to that new situation and learns to deal with his body as it now is. We are in prayer also for Peggy Cheesham upon the death of her son-in-law, and Marilyn Sheridan, whose sister Charlotte Avery has been sick for so very long, did pass away this past week. I want to thank everyone for a wonderful vacation Bible school. Those of you who participated and those of you who brought your children, I think that they all had a wonderful time and understood God's love and community and fellowship much better through the week. Boo Warner as well in our prayers, Cecil Browning, Fossey McMahon, Carol Bateman, Phyllis Legg, Joyce Bartless, R.J. Fife. His address is right out here on the corner if you'd like to write him. He's over in the Middle East. Lieutenant Brad DeLoach, Kyle Bennett, Amanda Henton, Ray Ballantyne, Bette McCord Bly. And of course, we all have our own concerns, our own thanksgivings, our own prayers for guidance, our own confessions. Let's keep those in mind as we lift our prayers up before God. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come to you to thank you for bringing us this far. We thank you for making yourself known in a trinity of ways, as creating Father, as saving Son, as present Holy Spirit and Comforter. Empower us now and enlighten us and envision us onto the paths in a time when the world needs the gospel, needs the church to be most active and vocal. Let us not shrink from who we are and what we are called to do, to proclaim that you were in Christ, making peace by the blood of your cross, that in Jesus you have revealed the way, the truth, and the life we are called to, and that your church is not driven by committees, not driven by individual effort or ego, but by surrender and trust to you. Guide us this day. And as we return later to our homes, help us grow from faith to deeper faith. For all the souls who have answered your call and given of themselves in time and talent and prayers, we thank you for the honor of standing midstream in the long line of those who call themselves by the name of Christ. And be with us now and help us ever be more Christ-like in our love and our forgiveness and our encouragement of others. And Lord, hear now the prayers of our hearts as we pray for the leaders of the nations of this world, as we pray for those who suffered disaster of storm and also tumult of emotional and financial upset, and those who grieve the loss of loved ones, those who grieve the loss of their dreams. Hear our prayers as we call these to mind in the private prayers in silence in our hearts. Yes, Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are bold to pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now comes a high and holy moment in the life of our church, or any church, the sacrament of baptism. I ask you to turn in your hymnal to number 39, to page 39, and I invite forward Gabriel Zane McKee and his parents, John and Jasmine, and whoever they would have stand with them. Now, y'all can come all the way up here to the baptismal font, okay? And we might need an extra hymnal for them tonight. Yes. Page 39. Now, at the end, I usually present him, if he's smaller, by holding him and walking him down the aisle and back. But since he's older, would you mind you two presenting him and walking down the aisle and back? Okay. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are incorporated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. This is all God's gift offered to us without price. I present Gabriel for baptism this morning. On behalf of the whole church, parents, and sponsors, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Gabriel in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself and to profess his faith openly and to lead a Christian life? And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Amen. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Now let us all join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. To all, do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And now the Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection. and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Now, what name is given this child? Gabriel Zane. Zane McKee. Gabriel Zane, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now you hold that. In just a minute, I'll have you walk them down front. May Gabriel, the Holy Spirit, work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, Main Street congregation, it is our joy to welcome as our new brother in Christ, Gabriel Zane McKee. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as member of the family of Christ. And now, members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you and the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Now I'll take that. Now, if y'all will just walk him down while they play the song, and y'all can be seated. Gabriel, you can wave in. I want to say that I think that Gabriel had a wonderful attitude and posture and behavior during this baptism, one of curiosity and playfulness. Some of us adults in our Christian faith have lost the sense of curiosity and playfulness, and I think we'd do better as a church if we kept it. So that is a wonderful example of childlike faith, and we welcome you all. I ask our children, all of our children, to come down front now for our children's time with Alice Ballantyne.
Good morning. you got the best view.
Good morning to all of you. I'm so glad you're here. I want to tell you of a story that's in the Bible, in the book of John. Have you ever heard of Nicodemus? That's kind of an odd name, Nicodemus. Well, Nicodemus went to see Jesus to kind of check him out and see what he was all about, because he'd heard a lot about Jesus. And Jesus told him that no one can enter the kingdom of God, which is heaven, without accepting Jesus. Can you sit down a bit? Without being born again. Well, Nicodemus said, "You mean, or surely you don't mean, that I have to go back to the hospital and be born all over again? That can't be right." Jesus said, No. What I mean is, to be born again is that Jesus wants us to believe in Him and to love Him and to be His children of God. That means all of us. All of us can be children of God. Now, we are all different, and we have different gifts, don't we? Aren't we all different? God needs us, and He needs all of our different gifts, whether that's being a good sharer or being a good artist. You can draw really good or play really good, or maybe you're a helper in your classroom at school or a good helper at home. We all have different gifts. You know, Miss Kelly and Miss Joyce, they have great musical gifts, don't they? And Miss Kathy, she's got great organizational skills to help us have fun programs at church, doesn't she? And some people in the church have skills of great cooking. Now, we all know that I don't have that skill, but I may have something else I can do. Now, that's right. Well, God needs each of you because you're different. And you can share God with others through all of your different gifts, no matter what they are. You can show His love to others. Let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for making me different. Help me to use my gifts to share your love with others. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all.
As we pass the peace, I want to ask our mission team to move forward to meet me for the sending forth at the end of that time. But for now, let us pass the peace. Thank you. When you use that mic, you're going to have to eat it. Get it closer to your mouth. Because I couldn't hear you. Could you?
Just barely.
See, barely.
We are going to get new mics, but I could barely hear you. Okay. And the older folks want to hear.
So I was telling Reedy to be louder, and I was.
Yes.
I thought you were either one of those, right?
I have only three of these. I only have only three. I need four of these. There's supposed to be four. There are supposed to be.
They're on. She's already got one.
Let me all come around here. I'll just meet me around front. I wondered why I had only three. The reason is I gave one to Caroline, and she did come back from Nicaragua, so she gets to keep that one. I'm a little worried about this mission team. They're going up the Amazon River on an Evangemed, a boat where they will stop and do home repair one place. They will play like they are doctors and nurses. Well, Lee actually is a nurse at another place. And then they will actually do vacation Bible schools and the building of churches and whatever is needed at each stop along the Amazon. My wife is under the delusion that God will protect her and there will be no snakes on the Amazon River during the time she is there. Lee is there with smelling salts in case she does see a snake, because if she does, she will be on the ground. Kit is there as our resident saint. And Ronnie is going because he once professionally wrestled alligators. Isn't that right? He told me that he did in Florida.
I did?
He did. He did. Okay, so we are covered. And to get God's blessing and the congregation's blessing, let us join in our sending forth on this Evangemed team up the Amazon River. The supreme aim of missions is to make the Lord Jesus Christ known to all people in all lands as their divine Savior, to persuade them to become His disciples and to gather these disciples into Christian churches, to enlist them in the building of the kingdom of God, to cooperate with these churches, to promote world Christian fellowship, and to bring to bear on all life the spirit and principles of Christ. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself." When asked, "Who is our neighbor?" Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan who had compassion and crossed cultural and religious boundaries to help someone who was obviously hurting and in need. And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." These have answered that call. Members and friends of Main Street United Methodist Church, the Great Commission is still in effect. The call is great upon each of us to answer in our own way. Before us today are volunteers in mission who wish to dedicate themselves to a task. As a congregation, let us commission and send them forth in the name of Christ and this church. And I'll ask you to please turn and face the congregation. Caroline, Lee, Ronnie, Kit, we rejoice that you have resolved in your hearts to devote time, talents, and energy to this mission of Evangemed in Brazil. You will touch the lives of people you never dreamed you would meet. They will also touch you as they share their faith. Through word and deed, you will testify to the infinite love of God. Such a task confers a great privilege. It also places upon you a solemn responsibility. What you have done alone with God in offering yourself for this mission, we now ask you to do publicly in the presence of this congregation. Do you each sincerely believe that you have been led by the Spirit of God to engage in this ministry of Evangemed?
I believe so.
Will you earnestly seek to carry forth this ministry in a Christ-like manner, in cooperation with your team members, and with respect to the local host? I ask you to turn and kneel. We ask you to wear these crosses as you are on your mission trip. And now, congregation, I ask that you join me as we send them forth. Almighty God, whose love for the whole family of humankind has been made known to us through your Son, send thy blessing upon these, your servants, soon to go forth on this mission assignment. Grant that they be guided and strengthened for their task, that they be open to new truths and insights from their host, and that they be given good health and traveling mercies, to the end that your name be glorified in all the earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Now please rise. We thank you for going in God's name and in the name of the Main Street congregation.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 12 through 17. "Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Now let us continue our worship now through the giving of our offerings, our tithes, our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for giving us enough substance to meet our needs and for every good cause. Bless these tithes, these returns unto your church, to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Hear now God's word from the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through, and I'll read through 18. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" And Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Where did my wife go? Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Two brief reminders, announcements. One, the Greenwood Salkehatchie camp had to be canceled. We had only 12 people and we were not able to do the number of homes we were scheduled to do. So we will not be doing the Greenwood Salkehatchie camp this year. And I regret that. We will find some other mission projects locally to do instead. And secondly, we will have a Board of Stewards meeting in the Trinity classroom immediately after the worship service. Now, for the sermon. I was reminded this week of a story of a mother who had an 8-year-old boy who just did not talk. And she took him to specialist after specialist, and the boy was intelligent and he was healthy, and the doctor said, "We can't find anything wrong with him. We don't understand." And finally, one of the specialists said, "Why don't you take him to church?" And the mother said, "Well, you know, we don't go to church that much, but I'll try anything." So she took the boy to church. Off to church they went. And when the organist began to play the prelude, the boy turned to his mother and said, "Mom, I have lots of things to say to you." And the mother was stunned. She phoned the doctor and said, "How did you know that going to church was going to help?" And the doctor said, "That's easy. Everyone talks during the prelude. Some even talk during the sermon." Now, according to the publication from the annual conference this last week, "For one more year, I will be your preacher." Now, for some of you, that brings a smile. For some of you, that brings a frown. And for others, a yawn of indifference. Now, no one has ever asked me how I feel. You know, I work and sweat and pray and research. And often I do actually think of particular individuals and particular scripture when I put together my sermons. And I hope with my meager efforts and God's Holy Spirit, I can meet people's needs. And then I see them counting how many boards there are in the ceiling of this sanctuary. Ed Munnerlin said he knows because he's done it. And then I see others who are fascinated by their watches, and I see yet a third category who breathe loudly. As if sermons, no matter how feverishly birthed, are simply commercials for God to be endured and nothing more. Someone wrote a letter once to the great evangelist Billy Sunday, and the letter was, "Dear Sir, I notice that preachers spend a great deal of time on their sermons and a great deal of time preparing them, and I have been to church regularly for 30 years, and during that time I estimate that I have heard about 3,000 sermons, but to my consternation, I have discovered that I cannot remember a single one of them. And I wonder if maybe a preacher's time might be better spent doing something else." Now, the board counters and the watch starers and the loud breathers might amen this and ask for a benediction. But Billy Sunday had a good reply. He said, "My dear sir, I have been married for about 30 years, and during that time I have eaten more than 30,000 meals, most of which were prepared by my wife, and suddenly I have discovered that I can't precisely remember the menu of a single meal, and yet I receive nourishment from every single one of them. And I have the distinct impression that without them I would have starved to death a long time ago." Why did Jesus bother preaching and teaching and standing firm in the face of opposition and power? You know, each of the gospel writers remembers his stories and even his great sermons in ever so slightly different ways. And you'll see that if you compare the four gospels. And when you think of it, those little bitty differences of memory preserved in our four gospels instead of fixed by some grand conspiracy sort of give the lie to the Da Vinci Code nonsense, doesn't it? We retain ever so slightly different versions of Jesus' teaching. When even his closest followers don't remember his sermons precisely, why did Jesus bother teaching and preaching and standing firm in the face of power and opposition? What did it get him? Students of history know that some other religious leaders gained armies and harems and earthly power from their preaching. What did Jesus get? Death. And death on a cross. A death that he could have cleverly avoided at any time by simply backing down, saying, "I didn't mean it," and slipping into the crowd, forgotten. He could have saved his skin. He did not preach, though, for gain. He did not preach for power or for popularity, as some have and as some still do. Why did he preach? Were he to come to the Main Street pulpit today, part of his unchanging message would include that there is not one good person here. Not one. That is part of his message. He certainly did not come to preach pleasing words to good people to make them feel even gooder. I looked in the thesaurus. I couldn't come up with a better word. He came, he said, for sinners. Somehow to save them and to offer them something they needed and something God wanted them to have. In fact, if you read the Gospels with only a medium amount of care, you will find that Jesus spoke harshly. Harshly of those who thought themselves always right and always righteous. He spoke of those who thought themselves always right and righteous as anti-God, anti-good, and not only dangerous, but evil. You just take any study Bible and look up Pharisees and see for yourself. Think what great evil has been done through the years by those who were convinced that their end goal was so high and so holy that any means necessary was justified. Think of Stalin. Think of Hitler. Think of Mao. Think of Osama bin Laden and others closer to home who seek to distort and to defame and to reframe their own agendas as the highest truth. And anyone who disagrees is either an agent of hell or worthy of death. In politics, this is done routinely and cynically by candidates of all stripes. But Jesus studiously avoided political power and studiously avoided popularity. And he didn't schmooze with the elite. Jesus, it seems, was concerned with those people who know that they did not know it all. That they just didn't know it all. That something was missing. And they needed some help. Jesus, it seems, was enamored of those who loved God and had a perception of God's holiness and their own sinfulness, and they lay down burdened by their guilt and they cried out for mercy. These are the people Jesus preached to and connected with and came for. Those who have caught a glimpse of God's holiness and in that divine light looked inward and found sin and guilt and selfishness and despair, to these Jesus said, Fear not, my little children. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. You see, I have said all of these things to make Jesus' words impact and implant into the soft spot that I hope that I have created so that you can maybe hear them in a new way. God so loved the world, that He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And the second verse there, God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. God is holy, and we are not. You see, so many people then and now actually believe that they were good, or at least good enough, or more or less holy, or more or less, most of the time, or doggone it, a whole lot more holy than the guy next to me, or God ought to feel good about me because I suffer through that preacher's boring sermons, and for that alone, I ought to get into heaven. We do think that way. But that's not it. The word is that the world was condemned already, and everyone in it. And no one is good, not one, not even one. The world has already gone each his or her own way and just making it up as we go along. You see, situation ethics is not a new concept. When we make ourselves feel better, when we know that we're doing wrong, it is as old as Scripture, way back in the book of Judges. It says there was no king in Israel in those days, and so every man did what was right in his own eyes. Just everybody did what they thought was right. Whatever they could rationalize, they did it. But we have a king. King Jesus. And we say we live in God's kingdom and under God's rule. Can we do that and still just make it up as we go along and do what is right in our own eyes? Can we? Or does this faith of ours demand some fear and trembling and serious disciplined decisions from time to time? The word of the gospel is good news. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. And God sent the Son into the world not to condemn it, but that the world might be saved through Him. But it is completely conditional upon the eyes-opened, realistic estimation of our human condition. We are sinners under condemnation with only God's grace to rely upon as a way out and up into God's arms. It is good news that God's arms of grace are wide open. It is bad news that you must make a move toward those open arms. The verse after these verses completes the thought. It is a present blessing of salvation and forgiveness for those who run to God's arms, but it is also a warning that we remain under judgment if we reject the Savior God has sent. Verse 18 very simply said, "He who believes in Him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already." Now what? The psalm that we often say, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." It is better translated, "This is the day which the Lord has acted. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." God has done and is still doing something in Jesus Christ. His arms are still open and the offer is still good. You think you don't need it. Well, in Proverbs it says, "The fool says in his heart that there is no God." A fool is what the Bible calls an atheist. To reject God in Christ makes one a self-deluded fool. but take care. I am not judging, and we must judge not. You take God up on the offer, and you are still, and I am still, a sinner. We are no better than a death row inmate, but the difference is this. You are a sinner saved by grace. Judge not, because grace alone is our hope. Jesus alone offers God's grace, not a system, not a philosophy. Instead, a trust that God was in Christ, making peace by the blood of His cross. The way into God's arms has always been repentance. And repentance in the Bible means a turning. A turning away from rebellion and self-centeredness, and a turning toward God, the One who forgives. But this can't occur unless we are willing to admit to ourselves how we hurt ourselves, and how we hurt others, and how we even hurt the heart of God by what we do and what we fail to do. Now, many of us don't want to take that step, or we back and forth over that same step. You know, the Greek word ego simply means I. Does your I get in the way? In the old Charlie Brown comic strip, Linus comes up to Charlie Brown and says, "Charlie Brown, do you know what's the trouble with you? Do you want to know what's the trouble with you?" And Charlie Brown says, "No. No." And they just stare at each other. And Linus says, "The trouble with you, Charlie Brown, is that you don't want to know what the trouble with you is." And that's the trouble with many of us. We feel threatened by the prospect of having to admit our imperfections. And if you think you're perfect and holy just as you are, ask your wife, or ask your husband, or ask your children. I won't say grandchildren, because they mostly think grandparents are perfect. I saw another cartoon where the husband and wife were lying in bed, and the husband in the cartoon just had this smug look on his face, and the wife in the next frame turned away from her husband and she prayed out loud, "God, please give Mr. Perfect one tiny flaw." And that's a problem for many of us. We think we're Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. Repentance means admitting that we are flawed, that we are broken, and in some places we are empty and undone. People who think they aren't are the Pharisees and the biblically defined self-worshipping fools. They're the ones who gave Jesus so much trouble. But God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. Judgment is here already. We condemn ourselves by rejecting God's love and grace by pretending we don't need it. God sent the Son for salvation, not for condemnation. And that is good news. And one theologian said it so beautifully. He said, "God loves you so much and His forgiveness is so full that it is as if the past had never happened. It is a new page, a new book of your life, a new start, a new possibility." So while you start by admitting that you have been wrong, you end up accepting forgiveness, and the healing is real. Your trust in God makes the forgiveness real and immediate and complete. And you grow from there. And there is no need to backtrack and feel old guilt and unearth and relive old sins. You are free when you accept this to move forward. Once you move into God's arms, you may move on. There was a little girl one time who was misbehaving, and she was giving her mother a very hard time. And her mother told her to go sit in the corner. Well, she went over in the corner and she stood. She didn't sit, she just stood. And the mother had to go over there and force her to sit. And said, "Just wait till your father comes home." And the father came home and found her sitting there with a scowl on her face in the corner and said, "What's going on?" What's going on? And the little girl looked up and said, well, on the outside I am sitting in this corner, but on the inside I am still standing. Some of us are doing that right now. In this very sanctuary, in our very best clothes, with our most peaceful expressions on our face, on the outside we look pretty good. But inside, that self-will, that ego, that I versus God is still going on. We're fighting God. And we're fighting what is good. And the people around us become the collateral damage. My last story. Can I get an amen? All right. There's a famous old story of a rabbi who was getting ready for the Day of Atonement, and he was in deep depression. Now, in the Jewish faith, the Day of Atonement is a day of repentance, and it's a day of restoration. But he was depressed. He was not happy. He was all down about it. And he was standing in the doorway of his little house. And down the dusty road came a shoe cobbler pushing his cart filled with his tools. And the cobbler came to the rabbi's house and he saw him standing in the doorway and he shouted in a very loud voice, "Do you have anything that needs mending?" And the rabbi said it hit him like the very voice of God. Suddenly, he saw so clearly what the source of his problem was and his depression. And it's exactly what John is telling us. If we really want the life that this magnificent gospel is offering through Jesus' teaching, if we really want it, then this is the question we must confront. There's no escaping it. Don't you have anything that needs mending? God came not to condemn. God came to mend. Don't we know? Don't we already know what is broken? Amen.
Thank you.
Receive this blessing. Be blessed in the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through your Savior, Jesus Christ, and the comfort and the peace which passes all human understanding by the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.